It was good. It was really good. I wish you heard that. I should turn the slide projector thing on too, now that you reminded me of that. I was saying that it's really good to sing these different songs that speak of the truth of the Word of God and just how important that is. Just another way of remembering who Jesus is, all that he has done, and it's just so good to be here. It's wonderful to hear. So Julie, that one song, I don't know if I've heard that before, the one that you led us in. So beautiful song, and obviously you knew it because I could hear everybody singing, so that was wonderful. All right, so this morning, we're going to continue in Philippians. We're going to be talking about exalting Jesus, and we spoke a little bit about that last week, and I just want to read this again. This is Philippians 2, verse 1 through 2, and we'll go down through 8, actually. It says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And again, just as we think about this, we're thinking about the church. So all of this has to do with unity within the church. And again, we're going to continue that idea into what we're talking about today. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. We were singing about that. We were singing about the blood and how important that is, being far off from him and then being brought near. We become friends with him. So as we were talking about last week, we were talking about how unity starts with humility. And just again, how important that is. We have the example of Christ and what he has done. And I like, if you look at the last bullet, and this is also in your bulletin as well, he was willing not to use his authority so that we could be saved. It's an amazing truth about what he did and what he was willing to do in submission to the Father as well as for the greater outcome for us. Just how amazing that is. So today we'll be looking at the great example of his humility with Jesus Christ. Again, his pain, what he was willing to suffer, what he was willing to endure so that we could be known by God. We could be his. And we'll be looking at the gain, what happened because of that. So if you would, let's pray together. Let's focus on what we have to look forward to in his word today. So Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We exalt you. And we continue to do that in this message as we open up your word, your truth, so that we can know you a little bit better. Thank you for the music, the songs that we sang this morning that point to you, to your glory, to your honor. So Lord, I pray that this morning we'd be focused on you, that we would enjoy this time as a church, united under your word. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so the principle that we're going to be looking at today has to do with exalting Jesus. But as we do that, we're demonstrating to the world who Jesus Christ is. So our desire, hopefully, is to become more like him. We are what people see. To an unbelieving world, we are actually their hope in the sense of hearing and seeing something different than what the world has to offer. If you think about it, the world can be a dark place. It can be a discouraging place. And yet we have something that brings light. Again, just like we sang in the songs, one of the songs this morning. We can be a light and we can share that with others. But this chapter continues in unity and harmony. That's what we're supposed to have in the church. And by the way, we have an annual meeting coming up. I don't know how annual meetings go here, but sometimes they can get, you know, people aren't sure about things. People have different opinions about the budget or even some of the things we'll be voting on. Are we going to be united together under God's word and continue to move forward? And that's really what it comes down to. Are we going to do the business of the church in a way that shows that we are united, that we are different than the rest of the world? I hope so. Find out. It's a first for me. But again, we're continues to build unity, harmony. We need to live unselfishly in a humble, self-sacrificing way, as we are imitating what our great example, and that is Jesus. And one of the things that there are a few things in this where I spent a little more time on because I just thought it was interesting. I just hadn't thought of it quite like that. And one of them is when we think of what Jesus did, it's bigger than what we realize. He did not, and I shared a little bit of this last week, he did not save you to be good. He didn't. That's a result of us turning to Christ, but he wanted us, he needed us to recognize our sin, to repent of our sin, to change and turn to him. That is the only way that we could be saved. That's the only way that we could apply the blood to our lives. And so sometimes we get into, you know, I'm going to be better. I'm going to do things better. And I'm gonna do it. And the answer is, well, sometimes you can do it for a little bit. But a lot of times we continue to fail. And what we need is Christ. We need to keep going back to him, relying on him, relying on the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to keep helping us to be more like Christ. One of the things that's kind of exciting as we go through this is Jesus was prophesied about long before he came. He had always been, so again, he was not born, but he has always been. He has always existed. So one of the things I wanted to look at, and again, just very briefly, because we're talking about exalting Jesus, we're also, the same word for Jesus Christ is Messiah. Those are equal. Those are the same. He was the one that the Jewish people were expecting to come. Psalm 110 talks about the prophecy that gloriously fulfills, that is fulfilled by Jesus. And it talks about the branch. It talks about the branch of David. And David is the one who is exalting this one who was to come. And again, we don't have time to get into it, but it's, you know, David calls, so the king of that, at that time of Israel, is calling him Lord. You are the one to be focused on. You are the one who is greater. And yet he would come through David, which is pretty wild. Another one, if you get a chance to look at it later, this is a little more complicated, but Zechariah 13:7 is also very good. I want to look at Isaiah 52. This is verse 14 and 15, and it just fits so well with what we're talking about long before Jesus ever came. It says this in Isaiah 52, verse 13, 14, 15. It says, "Indeed, my servant, the Messiah, will act wisely and prosper. He will be raised and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished and appalled at you, my own people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form, which was marred, more than the sons of men. So he will sprinkle many nations." So this is that idea. He will sprinkle many nations with his blood, providing salvation. "Kings will shut their mouths because of him, for what they had not been told, they will see. And what they had not heard, they will understand." Romans 10, 9 through 10, this is also written by Paul, but he talks about this, that how do you become saved? How do you get to know Jesus Christ? And you can turn over to that, Romans 10. Verses 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. That's that repentance. It's believing in your heart and mind and repenting of your sin, recognizing you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And there are so many other ones that we could do. But what we've been singing about, what we've even been seeing in this small section in Philippians, is this idea. This is theology. This is truth. It's fact that we need to apply to our lives. We need to understand who he is and what he has done, and then begin to apply to our lives, in a sense, that blood, where what he has done was for us. One of the things that we need to do as we look at this, God has exalted him to the highest place. We can see that again in prophecy that was fulfilled, and again, many other scriptures talk about that. He has been given a name above all names. And again, someday all people will acknowledge him. They will bow to him. If you get a chance, look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. One day, all people will bow before him. But one of the things that we should be doing with this is, are we putting others' interests first above our own? See, we're going to take care of ourselves. God knows that. We do that. The question is, are we willing to put others before us? One of the things that, again, as I was thinking through this, it's, you know, have you ever thought it is hard to wait for the recognition or reward till the end of your life? So we get eternity after we die, but you have to live in the meantime. So you wait. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, you know what? Jesus had to endure living as a human being. He took on flesh and wait till beyond this earthly life for what would come. So there's this part of it where, why should we think that we can't endure this, or that we are entitled to more than what he had? See, I need to keep the same perspective. And again, we're talking about, as a church, how are we doing with that? How are you doing with that? It's individuals who make up the church, people who make up the church. And again, when there is humility, there can be unity. When there is humility, there can be unity. And there's no other way. Think about, who am I compared to him? Compared to what we were just singing about, what we're reading about in Philippians, who am I compared to him? I am second. It's pretty encouraging testimonies, stories about people who came to Christ. And it's that idea of, I am second. And I mean, we're talking to a vast second. He is so much greater. He is so much more amazing. But isn't it also interesting that who I am on my own balanced with or balanced out with who God says I am? And that's the thing we need to remember. Who does God say that I am? I know what's in my heart and mind. You may not know. And sometimes I'm glad about that. But who does God say that I am? We need to remind ourselves that our identity is in and because of Christ and his blood. One of the things that I also wanted to do with this, and again, we're Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. I want to just read this a little bit, and this is important. It is important what we need to, how we can apply this. So if you take the first part, just again, going through that part about the greatness of Jesus, exalting Jesus, now we're kind of getting into more the application of that or the practice of being in Jesus. So Paul writes this. He says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now again, sometimes I think we think of this, again, I, as an individual, am supposed to be working out my salvation. However, that doesn't quite fit with how things have been going in Philippians so far. It actually is talking about us as a church, unity, working out or starting to actually do what he has told us to do. I mean, that's what that is. Stop doing this, put off this, put on Christ. Verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you, both to desire and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining or arguments. There we go, that's a good one, right? We'll spend a little time on that one. Because we need to work through that as people, because everybody in here, we're all people, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding firmly the word of life, so that on the day of Christ, again, this is the second time he's talking about that, so that on the day of Christ I can take pride because I did not run in vain nor labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and I share my joy with you all. Again, this is Paul sharing his heart with the people in Philippi. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. So again, just some thoughts about this. One of the things that we need to be doing is let God perfect in you his salvation. So we need to be doing this as an individual who's part of a bigger group. You need to be doing this. You need to be applying it, applying the theology we sang about and have been talking about to our lives so that when we come together, there is unity. Does that make sense? Because if we're not doing that individually, we're probably not going to do that as a group. And the goal is unity. The goal, the power that we have is unity. And this is what Paul's argument is, or as he takes us through this, he's trying to, again, point out how important unity is, how important the church is. So what are we called to do? What is part of working out our salvation? Part of it is, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next week because we get some examples of that, but what he wants us to do is become more like Christ. I mean, this is not a surprise. To have the same mind as Christ, to think more like him. And this is what he wants us to do. He wants us to be more like him. This is what he is, what we need to do in order to have unity. Remember, this is, as individuals, we need to do it, but as a group, we need to do it. So one of the things that he talks about in here, about grumbling and complaining, what do we do about that? How do we learn to wait? So if Jesus was willing to wait, are we willing to wait? How do we deal with other individuals who have a corrupt nature like we do? And yet we work together and fellowship together and make up the church. And one of the things that's interesting is, as he says in verse 17, I'm not there now to help you do this. You need to figure it out for yourselves. You need to do this for you. Isn't it? It reminded me of the disciples when Jesus was leaving, and he's about to leave, and they're kind of like, what do you mean you're leaving? Where are you going? What are you doing? And it's kind of the same thing with the Philippians. Even though Paul's not there, he's like, you need to continue to do what I've taught you to do. Continue to be obedient. Continue to be submissive. That's always a good one. He's directing them in his absence to be obedient, to work out their salvation in godly fear and have Christ on their mind and to continue in the right path. So even though he is writing to the Philippians, the principles are the same. To see every assembly, every church will sooner or later have internal differences. There will be struggles and there will be differences of opinion. Instead of coming together in the presence of God for humiliation and in humility and guidance, seeking his mind from his word and acting accordingly, we can start to get off of that path. We can start to look to other people, look to other ways of doing church. And he's saying that is not what I want you to do. But to work through these conflicts, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the word of grace. We have been shown, as we saw with Christ, we have been shown humility and waiting in the difficulty, seeking God and his will. So remember, Jesus came to do the will of God the Father. He was willing to go through it to continue what God had started. And again, we can look to different books or different people, different kinds of churches. I mean, there is something to be said for wise counsel, but we don't need to be dependent upon them. One of the things that he also says to be like stars, a light in the dark world. And again, think of the stars. And one of the things that's amazing is when now I can't think of it, of course. There was something on Monday that was the Northern Lights, right? And if you saw some of the pictures from Hawk Rock, apparently it was beautiful. I mean, absolutely amazing. Being here, looking up even over my house, is different than in New Jersey. You see a whole lot more stars. And we go, ooh, that's amazing. That's wonderful. And yet, one of the things that we need to remember is, who is the one who put them there? Who is the one who designed things the way that he did? That's Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Do we go to him? Are we reminded of him when we look at those things? Here's another thought. As exciting as the stars are, or the Northern Lights, what's even greater than that is our salvation. What is greater than what we think is so magnificent is Jesus and his salvation. Why do we do this? Why are we supposed to be lights in a dark place? Because we're pointing people to Christ. And hopefully in the church, it looks different. And I know, because we're not perfect, nobody is perfect. Sometimes things don't go the way we want them to go. And sometimes we look like we're doing church the same way the world would run a business. And that can happen. But we should be striving for something greater. We are to be waiting in the difficulty. We're supposed to be, the purpose of the church is to reach others with the good news, with Jesus, of Jesus Christ. And again, think of that. We've been going through this. He keeps talking about the gospel, the good news. We have a message that people need to hear. We have hope. We want to share that with other people. See, we have to remember even our testimony before them. We are to be light. So working out our salvation as a group is simply, humbly submitting to the truth of God after we're saved. Waiting as individuals or as an assembly of faith. And just, you know, that was one of the things that Kate and I, that stood out to us, and it doesn't mean that you weren't anxious to get someone in here. But as Rick said, as he would get up here week after week, we're looking for God's man. And to us, that was impressive because we were like, that's good. Because people will come, but are they the right person? And sometimes you think they are, but it doesn't work out. And that's where, again, we are relying on Christ. let me just take a couple minutes and just, I want to just share just a little bit about, because one of the things that I, again, as I was thinking about this, I had shared with you a few weeks ago. How does someone stop grumbling? Does anybody have an idea? Yeah, don't talk. Well, no, that's, well, yeah. Sometimes just keeping your mouth shut is good. But, I mean, part of it is, and I know this is kind of silly, but part of it's that vitamin G. How are you doing with your vitamin G? Are you grateful? Have you been working on, I want to be a grateful person, thanking God for all that he has done, who my identity is in, thinking of all he endured for us, seeing his creation, and yet what he's given us is even far greater. Are you working on gratitude? Are you learning gratitude? Another thing is, just even with arguing, and this is another part of it, but just to, how do we keep from arguing? And I have just four ideas to think about. Me, and this is something that we've been going over in going over Proverbs, but we must learn to use a soft answer to turn away wrath. Sometimes, I mean, other than not saying anything, but sometimes we need to, how we say it is important, and what we say is important. I, as a husband, sometimes struggle with that. I have a tone, which my wife doesn't like sometimes. Remember, you're also your testimony before other people. You are a light. We are a light. We are a light to new believers. We are a light to people who don't know Christ. Even in our flaws, God can use that. Also, remember, we are working for the Lord. This is his church. Are we united under him, moving forward because of him, listening to him? And this is an interesting one, and I think the word is deference. It's a good word to learn. If the issue does not go my way or our way, we need to learn to leave it with the Lord. And that is something that, as a culture, I think what we tend to do is complain about it. You see that, you know, it's interesting. You look at YouTube, when it started, it was more like a how-to kind of thing. How do I do this? And you could pull up a video. What it's turned into, and other things like Instagram and Facebook, it becomes just another place to complain. And I hope that is not what people see with us. Next week, we're going to get into a little bit more with the mind of Christ. We're going to look at Epaphroditus. We're going to look at Timothy. We're going to look at Silas. I may share a little bit of some people that I got to meet recently, and just to share a little bit of their heart with you as well. But the ultimate challenge of humility is for us to have the mind of Christ. That means we are willing to submit to him and what he has said, and do those things. That's taking that theology and making it practical. So we need to demonstrate to the world who Jesus Christ is, and may we desire to be like him. That should be our desire. Not always easy, but it is what we should want. Again, it comes down to humility. Are you united with Christ? Are you getting your vitamin G? You're working on that. Are you practicing that? Are you looking at sharing a soft answer as opposed to having to be right or win the argument? And also remember whom we are working for. He has given us a purpose, and the purpose is to reach the lost. So as we are discipled, reaching out to people is the goal, to point them to Christ so that they can have the hope that we do. Why? Because we're a light in this world. We need to act like that. We need to make sure we're doing that. So much in here for exalting Christ, what he has done, what he continues to do. And it's amazing to me that he uses us, imperfect, sometimes struggling, but he uses us. Just how great our God is. So I believe we have a song that we're going to do, hymn that we're going to do, and then we'll do our benediction.
Please rise for the second hymn of the morning, hymn number 224, More About Jesus. Number